or not, baby, right back into the action for another day of the week. Welcome to the Monday edition of Before You Bet Aaron Live, right here on the Covers YouTube and X-Channels. Great big show playing for you guys today. I think we're going to be making a little bit of history here on Before You Bet, leading with hockey for the first time ever. That's right. We don't do a whole lot of hockey picks on the show, but it's game 7 tonight going down in Florida. The Oilers trying to come back from an 0-3 hole, trying to make a little history of their own. So yeah, all eyes on the sports world will be on that game. And just hit me this morning. This is going to be the last big game in team sports for a while here. Obviously, the NBA is all wrapped up. There's nothing going on in Major League Baseball over the course of the summer that's must-see TV. You could talk about maybe some Olympic basketball, which is still a ways away, leading into college football, NFL. But still, this is the last big game in team sports for a while. So I'm pretty excited about that. So we have a couple of picks for that. Our usual handful of picks for Major League Baseball and the NBA draft going down on Wednesday night, I believe. We're going to look in on the latest draft betting buzz with our guy, John Mettler. Let's bring him in here, Johnny Mettler. John, how are you making out?
Good. Yeah. It's a big game when we're both talking hockey, especially me. If I'm talking hockey, it's a big game on the ice. So game 7 tonight, I know there's a lot of rooting interest here where I live because Ekblad is from Windsor. So there's interest on that side. Then also obviously the Oilers for a Canadian team. So should be interesting.
Yeah. Okay. So we were off last Friday. We were all traveling home from a company conference / retreat, which was an absolute blast. And I got to say, nothing makes me feel older, like getting together with a bunch of guys who are like 10 years younger than me and everyone's drinking. And, I'm calling in a night before midnight and they're up till 2:30 and then waking up before me in the morning and they look fresh as a daisy in the morning. But a great time with the fellows. It was, we're a pretty big remote company here at Covers and quite a few people that I've never met face to face. So that was pretty cool. And we have a company softball game there the first night of the conference. My team, I believe we were down 9-0. And we came all the way back to make it a one-run game in the last inning. And it wasn't to be, though. 3 hits, 2 errors for your boy. Some of the fellas absolutely cranking it. That was fun, though. I haven't got out to swing a bat in a while. John played. How would you assess your performance, Mettler?
Pretty good. I haven't played slow pitch in years. But it was, you got to set the scene for everyone here, though. Your team, I was on the winning team, Joe was on the losing team, but they had bases juiced with 2 outs, and then they flew out to left field, and we ended up winning, which was pretty dramatic. But it was first and second, 2 outs. Last inning, you guys were down a run, and you hit a single through the infield, which was kept everyone moving and stuff. I was recording. I have it on video because I was like, if he walks it off here, this video is going right on BYB on our next show. So it was, I don't know, too many companies you can put together 20 people who can play slow pitch that well. There's like diving catches in the outfield, home runs, everything. So it's pretty fun.
Yeah, and I will admit, pretty big moment there for me. 2 outs. The pitcher tried to, I forget who was pitching for the other team, but they tried to freeze me. They stepped off the mound and they were arguing what the score was. And, in that situation, I'm an experienced guy. You don't want to try to do too much. You know, a lot of people swing too hard, trying to hit the walk-off home run. No, hard contact right through the infield. Keep it going, which is what I did. I did my job, but the only thing that matters is winning, and we did not win, so congratulations to you. I look forward to the rematch next year. Okay, about 500 people tuned in live right now across YouTube and X. If you guys want to participate in the show, it is very easy to do so. Drop your best bets for the hockey game tonight and for Major League Baseball in the live chat. Give us a little breakdown if you would like. Also, let us know where in the world you are watching from. Before You Bet is an international sports betting program. Okay, let's get right into it. The last big game in team sports for a while. As I said, going down tonight in South Florida, the Oilers, Panthers, all locked up at 3 games apiece. Here's who I think is going to be lifting the cup at the end of the night. I'm going with the home team, the Florida Panthers. That's right. I am fading the momentum. Dig into the analytics for the series, and the analytics edge goes to the Panthers here. They come out ahead in Corsi. Expected goals, 4% by a wide margin, and high danger chances, 4% as well. So yes, absolutely, I'm fading the momentum. That's probably a big reason why a lot of people are taking Edmonton here. But Florida still is playing strong despite the three-game skid. During that three-game skid, they're still dominating those three analytics areas that I pointed out. But the big problem is, the only stat that matters is goals scored, and they have been outscored 10-5. And I do think the momentum is swinging this line way too much here. So we're getting the home team, Florida, -112. Game five on their home ice, they were -160. Game one on their home ice, they were -145. Have them here at -112. So yeah, I am fading the narrative, going with the Panthers. And John, you have a bet that you like for this game as well. What are you getting down on tonight?
Yeah, I bet the Conn Smythe market. I bet Alexander Barkov at +1200. So like you said, we were gone last week. We're in Halifax. I personally don't watch hockey. I don't really follow hockey or anything like that. But what happened, I did spend 4 days in a cottage, two-person cottage with Jingles in Halifax. So I had plenty of time to talk to him. And we obviously, he was, you know, he's knee-deep in all the Stanley Cup stuff too. They have a show coming up here this afternoon. And we're a bunch of people were watching game five. And like after that game happened, people were, you know, all the hockey guys were saying, you know, McDavid might be the favorite for Conn Smythe now. And then I pulled it up and it wasn't a might. He was -150. And I was like, oh, that seems kind of a little bit crazy in my mind, just because you are still down 3-2. This is after game five there. And then the next morning we're walking to breakfast and I was with Jingles and I was like, hey, what do you think McDavid is for the Conn Smythe? And he was like, +300, +400. I was like, he's -150. And then, like, that immediately just like rang bells in my head. I was like, okay, so obviously he feels like there's something way off in here. He's been very vocal about it too on Twitter since then. I personally don't really watch hockey, but I do feel like, you know, when you watch all these other sports, I don't think we currently live in a world where the losing team gets MVP. I think we're past that, in my opinion. I just don't see that happening. I think there's just certain awards that go to certain, like even like NFL MVP, I just think it goes to a quarterback. I think we've just kind of, that's the way the narrative has swung. I just don't think, was it Jagr that was the last one in 03 to win it as a goalie? I just don't think, I find it really hard to see a team winning the Stanley Cup and going the Conn Smythe to the other side. And then you look at, like you're saying, the Florida Panthers, they were -160. They're now -112, even -112. You're like slightly favored to win the game. So if they're slightly favored to win the game, you're going to be +1200 on the guy who's the favorite on their side to win the Conn Smythe. I don't know. To me, that's a bet I'm rolling with. I'm just, if I lose +1200, I lose +1200. I just don't see how you don't take that. Especially a lot of the hockey guys have been telling me that Bobrovsky's like basically out of it. So that also kind of makes me feel like Barkov has a good chance here.
Yeah, that seems like a decent bet for me to tail and throw $50 on. So I'm going to do that at the conclusion of the program here. Thomas weighing in. He likes under 5.5 and Oilers +1.5 puck line parlay. That seems like a decent bet. You know, I think a lot of people assume in a game seven that things are going to be tight. You know, the referees swallow the whistle, so maybe not a whole lot of power plays. Thomas, let us know what the payout is on that bet. That's kind of an interesting one there. Josh Ingles weighing in. He's predicting a tie here in game seven. Now, I don't know if there's ever been a tie in a game seven of a Stanley Cup finals. Who knows? Maybe they go to overtime. Someone pulls a fire alarm. There's a bomb threat or something like that, and they need to evacuate the arena. And the teams just decide, let's just call the tie, split the Stanley Cup down the middle. And I don't know if they've ever done that before, but yeah, +300 on that one for a game seven to end in a tie. And it has happened before in the Stanley Cup Finals, according to Jingles. So some good analysis for him. So yeah, as you guys know, we don't do a whole ton of hockey on the show here, but it's game seven. We're not going to ignore this one. If you are looking for more NHL betting coverage, the boys are going to be with you. NHL Puck Props with Jingles and Carlo going on at 2 Eastern here on the Covers YouTube channel. So make sure you are subscribed. Make sure you check it out. It is the best hockey betting program on the internet. And I think it's going to be their last show of the season. I don't know if they're doing any NHL draft stuff. But yeah, you're going to want to tune into that 2 Eastern with Josh and Carlo. Game 7 if you're looking for some more action detail for Game 7 tonight. Okay, Johnny, let's get into Major League Baseball. Some more big plus money from you. I just have four pitcher props here. We're going to start with Tanner Bibby of the Cleveland Guardians. Pretty good pitcher here, but we're going to fade him tonight by backing Baltimore's offense. They're going to take under 17.5 outs, even money on that one. So Baltimore is on fire versus right-handed pitching. And what do you know? He's a right-handed pitcher. Baltimore, first in OPS over the last 2 weeks with a league-leading 18 home runs. Absolutely raking here. They do their best work on their home field. Bibby on the road is just 2-5 against this number. So we could still have a decent game and not reach the 18 innings or 18 out mark in this one versus Baltimore, who is very strong versus righties. And, you know, you look at those games for BBs, 2-5 against that number on the road. Only one of those games came against the Angels. Maybe baseball's worst team versus right-handed pitching. And this is a guy very reliant on the strikeout. He's really good at racking up the strikeouts. I don't think we should expect another double-digit strikeout performance from him. He's coming off back-to-back ones. But don't expect a lot of easy outs versus the Orioles, who strike out at a pretty low percentage versus right-handed pitching. So, I'm fading Bibby that way. You're kind of fading him in another way, John. Break this one down.
Yeah, just a little bit. So I'm going Gunnar Henderson to hit a home run. It's Monday. It's Dinger Tuesdays tomorrow, but I'm going to jump at some home run props today because I do think tomorrow I'll probably be all in on the NBA draft stuff. So I'm going after some home run props today. Tanner Bibby, you know, when I was just looking at his splits and stuff, and you kind of pointed out to in your breakdown, he's actually really, really good against right-handed batters, but against left-handed batters, he's been, that's kind of where the power has shown up from the other side of things. So he's giving up a 781 OPS to lefts compared to 544 against right-handed batters. The one thing that, you know, kind of stood out to me was for Gunnar Henderson is 20 of his 24 home runs have come against right-handed pitchers. So then once again, you kind of have that matchup where, you know, Tanner Bibby, it's not that he's a bad pitcher. It's just he gives up kind of more power to left-handed batters. And then on top of that, Henderson is also someone who hits right-handed pitchers better than he does left-hand pitchers for power. The one thing that kind of did concern me just a little bit, obviously you'd like to see the wind blowing out, or like it's going to be hot there and sunny, but you'd like to see the wind blowing out. It wasn't blowing from like left to right, which was about 15 miles an hour. Just if you're a left-handed batter though, it wasn't like straight in or anything, more like sideways. So you think like even Henderson, like to the pole side, and more just kind of push it towards like a shorter part of the park. So I don't think that's a big issue there in terms of like the weather and stuff. And just, I was looking at the projections too, and they had it about like plus 275. Obviously Henderson, someone who he's one of the league leaders in home runs. It's not like it's a secret the guy can hit a dinger, but our projections kind of had them like plus 275, and you're able to get there at plus 400. So for that reason, you know, I was hitting the button on the plus 400 for Henderson.
Okay. Gentleman weighing in, did the Spidey bombs hit yesterday is the name. Guys, his name is pronounced Bibby. I often have people correcting my pronunciations of people. I called Bibby and it's Bibby. So my apologies to Bibby if he is watching the show here today. Feel free to correct me on those whenever you want. People do that quite a bit, especially with the UFC show that we do. Let's go to the other dugout here and fade the other starter, Cade Povich, starting for the Orioles. Do we have any Cade Povich fans watching the show today? Going to go under 4.5 strikeouts, minus 130. He's only averaging 3 strikeouts per start this season, including just 1 last time out versus the Yankees. Full disclosure, he's only made 3 starts this season. So he's gone under this number 4.5 in 2 of those 3. Cleveland, the Guardians, this is not a good team to be racking up the strikeouts against. The Guardians have the 3rd lowest strikeout percentage in baseball over the last month, and they're thriving on the road and versus left-handed pitching. 7th in OPS on the road over the last month. Past couple weeks doing quite well versus left-handed pitching as well. Okay, let's go back to another home run prop. Johnny, who are we looking at?
Yeah, I was going MJ Melendez. Hopefully I said his name right. plus 420 to hit home run. So same thing. This is a game, you know, Kauffman State, they're playing Kauffman State. I think it's going to be 97. You know, the wind's blowing out to left field, kind of everything you would want for like a home run prop. Obviously, you're not like stealing this number. Obviously, the sports books are also well aware that it's going to be hot, it's going to be windy, all those types of things. You're getting a plus 420 and a guy who only bats like 181 for his batting average. So But the one thing is too, I was looking at Melendez, you know, this is another matchup where it's like the pitcher. So the pitcher for the Marlins, he's given up 8 home runs to left-handed batters and only 57 at bats. That's not good at all. You can see on the screen there, he has a 1.147 OPS against left-handed batters. And Melendez, on the flip side, he's hitting all 8 of his home runs have come against right-handed pitchers. So it's like another one of those splits where you're kind of seeing something there. And then once again, I was like going through the projections for this one, and we had him about like plus 350. So nothing too crazy, nothing too far off. But like, once again, it's, you know, obviously Melendez isn't probably a guy who usually trades at plus 420. It's being accounted for, the heat, the matchup, all these things. It's just our projections think that price should be even shorter. So that was that's why I went after him. I was looking at other left-handed batters. Weren't too many guys in the Royals lineup who like looked like you could take advantage of this matchup. Melendez kind of looked like the guy to me. So he's not a high average guy. He's kind of a big strikeout guy, but just hit one dinger for us. That's all we need. So we're not just like looking for a 4 for 4 or something here.
Okay, there we go. Back to me for 2. Going to be tailing one of the hottest pitchers in Major League Baseball that you might not know about next. Matt Waldron. Juice is worth a squeeze. Under 2.5 earned runs, minus 155 on this one. And like I said, he's been one of baseball's top pitchers for over a month now. He is 8-0 against this number over his last 8 starts. Not a lot of luck, pure skill. 182 ERA with a 0.89 whip in these 8 games. He's taking on the Nationals, who struggled to generate hard contact versus right-handed pitching. Average overall versus righties, but one of the worst teams in baseball at generating hard contact versus righties. So don't expect them to be ripping it off him often in this one. And wrap things up here with pretty much tailing a trend here. So Griffin Canning on the mound here for the Angels. I think we're getting a very fair number on over 1.5 walks for him, minus 125. Straight up, pretty much just tailing a trend here. He has walked at least 2 in all 8 of his starts at home this season. Taking on an Athletics team that is walking at a fair percentage here. 9th highest walk percentage over the last week, 15th over the last month. So not great, not bad, no serious red flags. So let's back the trend. I think a fair number at minus 125. Okay, Johnny. So I have a lot of things that I criticize the NBA about. I think that the playoffs this past year sucked. Don't even get me started on the load management stuff and James Harden and Kevin Durant demanding a trade whenever they're just a little bit unhappy. But one thing I think the NBA does extremely well is they don't allow a lot of time to breathe. So NBA finals, then we get right into free agency, a bunch of coaches getting hired. And of course, the NBA draft is this week. And people are saying that it's not a strong draft compared to ones in past years, but I think a lot of betting intrigue, of course. So what's the latest NBA draft betting buzz ahead of the draft here?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of confusion at the top for the number one overall pick. You know, it's a weak class. We don't really know who's going where, but at the same time, from like a betting perspective, this might be one of the most fun drafts you'll ever bet on just because of that. I do think there's issues. Like, we've had multiple guys flip at number one overall to be the favorite. I think kind of the issue is the Hawks want to maximize the value of that first overall pick. I do think the people they kind of want to draft are kind of, they could get further in the draft. And so like, that's why there's that confusion of there is no target. You've seen, you know, Alexander Starr has been a favorite. Zachary Risache has been the favorite. Donovan Klingon has like really climbed up the board. He was like 14-1. He's like now 2-1. I think the Hawks probably want Klingon and they want to trade with the Spurs, and that would be like 1st to 4th. But the problem is the Rockets are sitting at 3 and they want to acquire like a win now piece, and they want to flip that 3rd overall pick to someone. And it sounds like that someone, whoever keeps trying to come up, is for Klingon. So I think that's why there's a ton of confusion on who's going first overall, because the Hawks might be drafting for the Spurs, but the problem for the Hawks is if they go back to 4, they might not be getting the guy they necessarily want. So I think that's why we're kind of all over the place. And then you kind of saw that the Hawks haven't been able to bring in Alexander Starr for a workout. He did play at Overtime Elite in Atlanta. So I don't know, maybe he just doesn't want to play in Atlanta, or there's other things happening there. And it was like pretty much, you know, one of the top draft analysts pretty much said like, it's a guarantee if Starr is on the board for 2nd overall, he'll go 2nd to the Washington Wizards. Wizards moved to like a minus 550 favorite, or Starr moved to a minus 550 favorite to be drafted 2nd overall. Now today you're seeing the Hawks might draft Sarr. So I feel like once again, that might be the Hawks trying to play, you know, leverage a trade with the Wizards. Let's flip first and second. I think the Hawks just don't want to draft a player. They have a lot of contracts and stuff. I think they want to use this pick to like get off some contracts, get some more draft capital. So I think it's creating like a lot of confusion in the odds. And I think it's going to give you a lot of doors where you can kind of jump in there and bet. And like, lastly, I'll say shout out to DraftKings, because a lot of these sports books have been pretty light with what they're offering. DraftKings now has all the way up to the 25th pick that you can pick who will go in what slot. That's a lot to trade. So I think they might have the whole first round by the end of the day. They might have all 30 picks you could bet on. So
how are we looking for Bronny James? He's going to go at the end of the first round. Is that the way it's looking now? Or
his total is, I think, 40 and a half right now. So that would put him in the second round. I don't think he'll be a first round pick. That's the other thing too. If you go on like just throw this out here. If you go on FanDuel and like you bet the Lakers to draft Bronny James, you know, in the NBA, they don't trade picks. They'd have to do that once the new league year resets. So like if the Lakers are acquiring him via trade, it could be like the Thunder draft him and then trade him to the thing. Yeah. So it says at the top on FanDuel, I don't know if any other books are clarifying, but it says it's the team who drafts him, not what happens after a trade. So if he doesn't if he isn't directly drafted by the Lakers and then gets traded to the Lakers, just be aware that that actually goes to that. I'm assuming that market gets awarded to the team that picks him. So it's not like the NFL where it's like the Vikings are on the clock. That's not how the NBA does it. So be aware of that as well.
I want one of these dinky teams to come in, the Wizards, the Hornets, and say, we're taking them. Come on, LeBron, come play for the Wizards. I would love to see that. So speaking of DraftKings, though, one of my favorite markets is they have the big-time players, the guys who can enter free agency and what their next team will be. We discussed this last week, but any significant moves either way for Paul George or Klay Thompson?
The Magic are the favorite to sign Klay Thompson now. Paul George, it doesn't sound like he's going back to the Clippers, because now they're talking about him opting in and maybe, you know, a sign and trade, which would open up, you know, then you're not looking at the teams who just have cap space to sign him. Then it could also open the door to teams who can match a contract, and that brings kind of new teams into play. I think, you know, we brought this up last week, as it gets closer and closer to free agency and Paul George isn't signing, to me, it's just the Clippers shouldn't be the favorite. That market should begin to move. They've thrown up two new players on DraftKings. Brandon Ingram, I think he was thrown up there today. Trae Young over the weekend. The one that kind of caught my eye, I might bet it. I was actually looking at it before we came on here, which was a little late to the pre-show meeting because I got a little distracted. But Trae Young is plus 1,800 to the Nets. So I don't. What do you think about that one? Because they could send Ben Simmons in a contract match, and then they also have a bunch of draft picks they got from Durant, Harden, Kyrie Irving. The Nets to me feel like a franchise that would like go star hunting for a guy like Trae Young. That's just based off their history and stuff. That was kind of what I was thinking.
Yeah, from what I hear, the Nets aren't interested in just throwing in the towel and going into a rebuild. You know, they got all these picks and stuff like that after the KD, Kyrie, James Harden thing blew up in their face. But yeah, they're interested in competing. They're interested in having a guy that can sell jerseys. I don't know if that's the fit. I like the fit of Trae Young to the Miami Heat. That's one that people are kind of throwing around a little bit, like a completely different culture. Maybe that could work out. Maybe the Heat are looking to move on from Jimmy Butler, maybe a year early as opposed to a year too late. He is getting a bit older. He doesn't really play very much during the regular season either. Other players get killed for that. Jimmy Butler kind of gets a bit of a pass for some reason. So, yeah. Okay. So, yeah, a lot of interesting developments here in the NBA. So we'll be keeping tabs on those from a betting perspective. We're going to have a ton of NBA draft coverage here on the show and over at covers.com as well. So make sure you check that out. Okay. So housekeeping item here, guys. I'm not going to be on the show on Wednesday or Friday. Mettler's going to have you covered. Jingles will be stepping in with him. They're going to be covering both drafts, the NBA draft, NHL draft, Major League Baseball. Any big news are going to be here to discuss it from a betting perspective. I am off to Las Vegas for UFC 303, the NHL draft. And I think I'm going to go to the Power Slap event as well. I just got my media credential approved for that. So, hey, pretty controversial. I'm going to give it a fair shot. Go check it out, and I'll let you guys know what I think of that. But make sure you follow me over on Instagram, JTFOZ. Follow along for my trip there. Also, follow on Twitter if you're not already doing that. I'll drop all my Major League Baseball action over the course of the week right there. So I like the Panthers here tonight. But if you're looking for more NHL betting coverage, Game 7 tonight, stay tuned here. Make sure you are subscribed to the Covers YouTube channel here. NHL Puck Props Live at 2 Eastern with Josh and Carlo. You're going to want to check that out. Big show here for the guys in about an hour and a half here. Okay, Meller, any closing thoughts before we say goodbye for the day?
Just if you're interested in betting the NBA draft, give me a follow on X at John Meller, because it the bets could get crazy in the next 48 hours. I've been going through a lot of the NBA draft stuff, so I'm pretty intrigued by all these markets DraftKings has thrown up. Usually last year they did trade it live too, but it looks like they're just gonna give us all 30 picks right away from the start. So I'm gonna start going through it this afternoon and we'll see what happens. It could I'm gonna have some fun with it for sure. Draft betting to me is like, you know, when we're in the regular season betting props and stuff, that's like units, like we're like betting, but the draft stuff to me is so fun. I like trying to hit like a 20-30 to 1 and stuff, and you're just more entertainment purposes.
Let's go, Bronny to the Raptors, baby. Okay. That does it for the show today, guys. Thank you very much for tuning in. Thanks to John for stopping in. Best of luck with all of your bets tonight, and we will catch you again on Wednesday. Woo!